My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, I'd like to share with you an explanation of today's readings, which I take heavily from Father Mitch Pacwa, so you can be assured it's good stuff. It's not just my old rambling here. The first reading from the prophet Isaiah is one of the songs of the servant of the Lord, and it's one of four that we hear during Holy Week, each one progressively shedding light on the nature of God's servant and of his mission. What we heard yesterday was the song of the servant, the first, which is very optimistic and enthusiastic. And it says that the servant will bring justice to the earth, a cause for great celebration and joy. That song is cited in the Gospels and is clearly a reference to Christ himself. In this morning's reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah, the Lord says, "You are my servant." In this, there's something of a change. The mission is given, but things aren't going to be so rosy all the time for the servant. We notice first that the song is addressed to the islands and the distant peoples. And at the time Isaiah was writing, coincides with the conquests of the king of Persia, Cyrus, who had extended his kingdom to the islands of the Adriatic Sea and the Mediterranean there, which were peopled by the Greeks. And he's just about at this point in time, in the year 539 BC, to conquer Babylon. So the song is addressed to these people of these distant islands, which means that the servant addresses himself not only to the land of Israel, to the people of Israel. He speaks, his mission goes far beyond. Then there's the line that the Lord called me from birth, from my mother's womb, he gave me my name. And this verse reminds us of Jeremiah and also brings forth one of these aspects of the servant, which is that he will be like a prophet who speaks the word of the Lord. This is further reinforced by the lines to which the servant describes himself as being a sharp-edged sword and a polished arrow. These are two kinds of weapons that are used in different circumstances. The sword is a hand-to-hand combat weapon that is only used when you're in close proximity of the one whom you are going to kill. Whereas the arrow is you're able to attack at a great distance. And these words are used throughout Holy Scripture, both in the Old Testament, from the book of Judges, all the way to the book of Revelations. The imagery of the sharp-edged or two-edged sword is used in the letter to the Ephesians, in chapter 6, where St. Paul talks about the armor of God. He lists also one offensive weapon, which is this two-edged sword, the word of God. And in Revelations, the word is like a two-edged sword that issues from the mouth of Christ. There's then the verse, "You are my servant, Israel, through whom I show my glory." This is, when we stop to reflect on it, a remarkable thing. A servant is not usually associated with anything glorious, but is just a humble position without much importance, and yet it is through this servant whom God will show his glory. It also reminds us of the Psalms, the second Psalm, verse 7, which speaks about the Messianic King. This verse means that the servant is not going to be only a prophet who speaks the word of God near and far, but he's like the Messianic King who is going to glorify the Lord. We think of these lines as we read chapter 12 of the Gospel of St. John, right after his triumphant entrance into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. These lines resonate in reference to Christ. There are the Greeks who come up to speak to Philip and Andrew, stating that they want to speak with Jesus. They want to see Jesus and speak with him. Now, Philip and Andrew are two Greek names. This may be why they were approached with the hope that they could be translators. And it's at this moment when Christ makes a comment that refers back also to this prophecy of Isaiah. When he's approached by these Greeks, he states, "Now is the time for the Son of Man to be glorified." And he says to the Father, "Glorify thy Son." And it's at that point that the Father says, "I have glorified him, and I will glorify him again." And then again in today's gospel, Jesus proclaims, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and he will glorify him at once." So again, we see this relationship between the ancient prophecies of the servant and the words of Christ, which are a manifestation or a revelation of the fact that Jesus is the fulfillment of this prophecy. We also note that these words spoken by our Lord today of being glorified are in connection with his suffering and death. He's just been betrayed by a close friend. Even as the Lord seeks to make a final appeal to him as a friend in the gesture of dipping his bread and handing it to Judas, which is in the Hebrew culture and in the culture of the Middle East, an expression of friendship when one offers a morsel. And Judas accepts it, and at that moment Satan enters him. And Jesus utters these words, a sign that his glorification involves suffering. We hear this again in today's reading from the prophet Isaiah. "Though I thought I had toiled in vain and for nothing, uselessly spent my strength." It would appear over the period of the next few days from the events that take place after the Last Supper until the magnificent turn of events on Sunday of Easter and the resurrection, it would appear that Christ had toiled in vain. Here he is betrayed by a close friend. Shortly after, all of his apostles will abandon him and leave him in the hands of his persecutors. As he stands, as he looks down from the cross, only John is present among his disciples. And he cries out, "My Lord, my God, why have you abandoned me?" Not only is he abandoned, but denied Peter, on whom he builds the church, on the faith of this one apostle. He's denied three times. the theme of suffering will again come up in the next readings we will hear on Holy Wednesday, and then on Good Friday, readings from the prophet Isaiah. And it shows that the sufferings of the servant, i.e. of Christ, are prophesied as something inevitable. Yet, the suffering is not useless. And the importance of this prophecy is that it shows the suffering servant is chosen, will suffer, and that this is part of God's plan of redemption for the world. The note of suffering that we hear in these readings from the prophet, however, are not without also some hope, and we hear it today. Yet my reward is with the Lord, my recompense is with my God. The servant, even in the midst of great difficulties, trusts in God, and his suffering is not the end of the story. There is the reward that awaits him, which of course we will see on Easter Sunday. Again, expanding on this prophecy, his mission is in the midst of this suffering. However, it is too little, he says, for you to be my servant, to raise up the tribes of Jacob and restore the survivors of Israel. During his earthly mission, Christ had limited himself to addressing the people of Israel because they were the people of the promise and the Messiah had to come to them first. And he was fulfilling 1,800 years of prophecy going back all the way to Abraham, the father of Israel. And yet, in the fulfillment of these prophecies, as we hear even alluded to by Isaiah, his mission does not stop with Israel. Again, from this today's reading, I will make you a light to the nations, that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth. We also hear this kind of statement from our Lord in the Gospel, in St. John in 8:12. Our Lord says, I am the light of the world. So he identifies himself as with the servant. He fulfills this prophecy and proclaims that his salvation will reach to the ends of the earth. We've heard this, we hear this again when he commissions the disciples to go to the ends of the earth. And then just before he ascends into heaven, he makes the same point again. He sends his disciples to the very ends of the earth. In the fulfillment of that prophecy, then, we too are included. At the time Jesus spoke these words, and even centuries before when Isaiah made the prophecy, no one had even imagined the existence of the new world to which we belong, the hemisphere, the American continents, were not even known. And yet, here we are, disciples of Christ, beneficiaries of that word that is like a two-edged sword and like a shining arrow. And we too are continuing this mission. Even today, throughout the world, the knowledge of Christ and of the gospel continues to spread. So with today's readings, and as we go through this Holy Week, as we unite ourselves spiritually in the passion of Christ, we too are, as a church, going through the passion, suffering in the persecution of the servant. Let us remember that this is part of God's plan, and that Christ, the servant, was used by God to redeem all of humanity, and that we have a share in that. May Our Lady, who stayed by Christ even as he died on the cross, be with us as we face the challenges and the suffering that are part of being Christians. Praise be Jesus and Mary.